Welcome back to our series, Run to Win. We're looking at this topic because everyone wants to win at life. No one wants to look back on their life and at the end of it say, man, did I waste it? We all want to look back on our lives and say, I won. At the onset of this series, I shared with you this idea that running to win looks like running towards God. We said that having God as a greater priority in our lives a year from now than we are right now is a win. Now, we've got a main text for this series that I want to share with you again. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 24. And we find these words. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. We have looked at what it takes to run to win. That we need to run with a purpose, that as Paul wrote here, we have to train our lives, and we have to train our lives spiritually, and that takes discipline. We've already said in the last few weeks, it includes running to prayer. It includes running to the Word. Those are the disciplines, the training that we do. Last week, we learned that the Bible is more than an ancient book. It's a living book. And I just want to recap what we said last week about why we need the Word of God in our lives. We said that reading the Word of God makes us strong, and reading the Word of God gives us clarity. That reading the Word of God keeps us strong, and reading the Word of God helps us get strong again when we've become weak. Last week, we took some time to understand that we need the Word of God in our lives. And if you missed last week's, go back, you can find it and you can watch it. But today I want to pick up on where we left off. So if you would, this is part two of last week. So because last week I gave you all the biblical understanding, and today I want to give you some practical insights and practical things, practical ways that you can understand and learn to read the Bible better for yourselves. And I want to give a shout out to Pastor Scott Omremski, who I gleaned some of what I'm teaching from something he had put together and prepared. So I borrowed a couple of his ideas and I melded them with some other ideas. And so I want to share with you four keys to better understanding the Bible today. And the first is this: you need to remember the big picture. You need to understand what the Bible is all about. Bible's not just a couple of verses. It's a collection of 66 books written by 40 authors over a period of over 1,500 years. So that's quite big. So look at the big picture. There are two main sections of our Bible, what we call the Old Testament and the New Testament. But the Bible has one main idea. The Bible has one theme. And the one theme is this, that God loves people and wants to have relationship with them. Make it personal. God loves you and He wants to have a relationship with you. Now, every time you read the Bible, every time you open a book, every time you take some of the scriptures and read them and meditate them or think about them and take time to digest them, you have to look at them through that one big lens picture that God loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. And we find that really succinctly in probably one of the most well-known verses of Scripture. People even recognize the reference, even if they don't know the verse, and it's John 3:16, where the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life." See, the whole Bible is about God's love for people, and the whole Bible is about Jesus. See, if you look for Jesus, you'll find him. He's kind of hidden in the Old Testament, but he's there, and he's revealed in the New Testament. See, God created us because he wants to have a relationship with us, but God gives us a choice. God gives you a choice. You can either choose him or you can choose yourself. You can either choose to be with God and follow God, or you could choose to follow yourself. The problem is when we choose ourselves, we choose sin, and sin leads to chaos in our lives. The best example of this is way back at the beginning of the Bible in the Garden of Eden. God created Adam and Eve, and he gave them a choice. Choose God or choose yourselves. They chose themselves. They ate from the forbidden tree. And as a result, God put into practice and into provision the promises of Genesis 3:15 that says this, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." See, that verse points to Jesus. You see, Jesus appears in the Bible right from the beginning. Well, let me give you a simple example. In the Old Testament, we're told all about the sacrificial system, how people needed to bring offerings, and especially animals, to the temple or to the tabernacle first, and then the temples, and they'd be sacrificed and blood would be spilled. And that was a temporary measure. Every time they'd sin, they'd have to do this over and over. Once a year, the nation would have to repent of their sin. It was a temporary measure where the blood could cover that sin temporarily. But that's a picture that points to the coming Messiah, the Savior, the one called Jesus. In the New Testament, Jesus appears on the scene, and he tells us how we could live differently. He came to teach us and show us the Father's heart. And we learn in the beginning of the New Testament that Jesus is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said, "Look, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world." And in so stating that, John the Baptist pointed that Jesus is the fulfillment of that Old Testament sacrificial system. You see, the New Testament and Old Testament are combined, and Jesus is right there through all of it. So you need to see that the Bible is God's love letter to you. It's a way of his communicating relationship with you. So whenever you read the Bible, you've got to start with the big picture. It's about God's love, and it's about Jesus who died for you. So the next key to understanding the Bible is to find the context. Asking yourselves, what did this mean in its time and in its place? And see, context is key. Every verse and passage all have a context to it. And so the first thing about context is understanding the background. Take some time to maybe understand who is the writer of that book, who is the author, and what period was it written in, and more important, who was it written to, and why did they write it? You'll find in the New Testament, Paul writes a number of epistles or letters, and we've called them books, like 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, which we've referenced today. And all of those have a purpose and a meaning to why they were written. And when we understand the purpose, when we read it, we understand the context better. And it helps us to understand that context is key. Let me give it to you this way. Ever hear of that expression, "I can't believe you just did that"? Let me tell you about that expression. I remember there was a time a few years back when I used to regularly play hockey, and I was a goaltender in hockey. And I remember this one game in particular. I don't know why, but it always stands out to me. And, you know, as a goalie, you make a mistake, a puck goes in. Every once in a while, you really get lucky and you make an outstanding save and people go, ooh. But I remember this one game we were playing, and the guy came down on me. He was really close, and he went to shoot the puck between my legs, and he actually got it between my legs, and it was heading into the net. And I remember that I was able to reach behind me with my stick, and I knocked it out of the air between me and the goal line and knocked it out of harm's way and went up the ice. And the guy actually just stopped right in front of me, and he basically goes, "I can't believe you just did that." So you understand what that means, but that same phrase could be used differently. I could be at a family gathering or maybe a party back. Remember those days when we could have gatherings? But they're coming. But I could be at a family gathering or a party, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you. You probably not, but I know it's happened to me. You know, you misspeak. You say something and it comes out totally wrong or almost inappropriate. Not even meaning to sometimes, and you just misspeak. And I could be at a gathering and I could misspeak and say something, and I know that my wife could look across the room, and without even saying, just the look, she could be saying, "I can't believe you just did that." You see, same expression, same words, but the context reveals to you what it really means. One is an outstanding play, and one is probably outstanding stupidity. But that's what it means to understand things in its context. And then, you see, perspective adds meaning. So look at the main text of our series that I read to you just a few minutes ago. Paul, when he was writing about running the race, he says this, "They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize." Now, let me give you some perspective here. A few weeks ago, if you remember in the series, I told you that Paul writes to the Corinthian people who've got this picture of the Isthmian Games as their background, something like the Olympics. And they knew that people came and they ran races, and the winners would get, if you remember I told you this, the winners would get a wreath that was made out of like organic plants, you know, and the wreath would be placed on their head, kind of like a crown, and a winner would have that, and that would indicate to everybody that they were the winner of their race, their competition. And Paul says to the people who know the games, he says, "They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it to win a prize that's eternal." You see, perspective adds meaning. So how do you find this context? How can you find context and perspective? Well, you can go to play. You have to get some sources outside of just the text of the Bible. And if one good way is a study Bible. If you ever have a study Bible, you'll note that before each book, there's a page or two of introductory material, and they'll tell you some things there. And a study Bible, if you've never seen one, has the bottom usually of each page has like short commentaries, short explanations of certain verses and passages to help you understand clearly. So you can get a study Bible, or you can get a study guide for certain books of the Bible if you want to study them. You could actually go online, and there's all kinds of places where you can even find things online through Faith Life has places, and you can go on there, and you can go on and you can search and read, and you can find the context. So that's the second key. The third key is this: apply it to your life. Ask yourself the question, what does this mean for me? And what do I do with what I'm reading in the Bible? You need to allow the Word of God to speak to your heart. You know, I suggest this, before you sit down to read the Word every day, hopefully every day, that you pause. I still do this. You pause and you say something like, "Holy Spirit, as I read today, help the Word to come alive to me. Help me to understand what you're saying, and help me to know how I could live this Word today." Just a simple prayer that invites God, invites the Holy Spirit to be part of reading the Word. It's God's Word. Ask Him to help you understand it. 2 Timothy 3:16 teaches us about the Word. It says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." The blessing of God comes when you apply the Word to your life. Even Jesus told us that in Matthew 7:24. He said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." We need to take the word of God and learn to apply it in our lives. Here's an example. You might be reading a passage on reconciliation or forgiveness like Matthew chapter 5, 23, where God says you need to make it right with the others who you live with, the others who you're in communion with and relationship and friendship with. So when you read that, you read that, and maybe one day you're reading that and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, "You know, you've really been at odds with so-and-so, and I need you to make that right." And so that's taking the word and applying it to your life so that you could then go out and do it. That's just an example, so you need to do that. The fourth key is read it. You might ask yourself, where do I start? And I'm going to say, just start. Just read the Bible. But, you know, you want to start in a place that helps you and encourages you. But here's the key to starting. Make an appointment with God and keep it. Make an appointment and keep it. Right? Find a time of the day that is best for you. We're not all the same. All of us have different ways and lifestyles and schedules. Find what works for you. Don't worry about what works for somebody else. What works for you? Early in the morning, the middle of the day, on your lunch break, in the evening. What works for you? Find a time that works best for you, and then make an appointment with God. So, like, make a commitment to yourself. If you need to, go ahead and put it in your calendar, if that's what it takes for you to do, okay? But find a time where you're not going to feel rushed, and you're not going to feel too tired, so that you could take some time. Remember, God wants to speak to your heart. So make time for Him. Make it a priority in your life. That's why I kid around. Put it in your calendar if you have to. Because, you see, we prioritize what's important. And so make this a priority. And then use a Bible translation you can understand. There's many translations. There's so many translations available for you today. You know, there's some of the most well-known ones. There's the New King James Version. For those who like that King James poetic language that's in there, it's a little bit easier. Or there's if you love King James, stick with it. But maybe you like the New International Version, New Living Translation, and there's all kinds. There's the Message, which is more of a paraphrase, but it's more poetic and gives you more meaning, but it won't be good for word studies if you want to do that. So use a translation that you can understand. And because when you have a version of the Bible you could read, that you enjoy, that you understand, it makes reading the word more pleasurable. So you want to do that and enjoy it. And then I said this last week, but I want to camp here again for a moment. Use a reading plan. See, a reading plan helps you stay on target. It sets out goals and a game plan for you. It helps you to know where you are in your reading today and where you're going in the near future. Now, you don't have to be fancy. You don't have to pick a reading plan that somebody else has, you know, written and put out there and published. You can make your own reading plan. You know, last year I heard about this reading plan where if you read a chapter in the gospel, if you read three chapters a day, you'll read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about every month. And a couple of months have a couple less days or more days. But that's a simple reading plan that somebody didn't publish, but they said it. So, you know, you can do something like, you can pick a book of the Bible. There's a book that really interests you and you want to read it. So you can do that. And, you know, you can read it. Now, the idea here isn't to see how much can you read, how fast. Okay. I'm not worried. You know, some people have a goal that they want to read the entire Bible in a year. If that's your goal, that's great. Do it. But, you know, if you're not used to reading the Bible, I'm not going to say, excuse me, I'm not going to say, you know, read the whole Bible because you've never read it before. I'm going to say, read at a pace that is good for you so that you could understand it and digest it and apply it. Speed is not the key. Clarity and simplicity are the key. Find a way that helps you read the Bible. Then again, I want to remind you of the YouVersion Bible app, because I'm trying to give you a tool that's easy. This tool is great because you can put it on your phone, you can put it on your tablet, you can put it on your computer. So it's always accessible to you. And in the YouVersion Bible app, you'll find all kinds of translations. And you can even check a few out, you know, 1 week read one version, 1 week read another version, and see what you get comfortable with. There's a way. If you're not used to reading the Bible every day, I mentioned this last week, I want to take a little more time here. There's something on the Bible app called Stories. When you open up the Bible app every day, there's a little button that says Stories. And you press that button and it's great. It's simple. It's not long. It gives you a main thought, something to think about. Then it gives you a scripture about what you're thinking about. Then every day they've got somebody who's recorded a short video devotional, 2 minutes or less, and they share ideas about the scripture. Then it takes you to thoughts about it more and prayer. And the whole thing probably takes 5 to 10 minutes, if that. And if you're not used to reading the Bible, if you're this is a new adventure for you, start with Stories. Even if you say, I'm going to do it for a week or 2 weeks or a month, and then you can go further. Now, once you're comfortable there, there's all kinds of reading plans available. And they're set up by themes or they're set up by books. Some are 3 days, 7 days, 21 days. So you can take bite-sized chunks and you can digest the Bible. And there's reading plans all in those guides for you. So if you don't know where to turn or don't know where to start, start there. It's easy. It's simple. And for those of you who have children, there's a Bible app for kids that you can make available to them. And you can help the kids read the Word in a way that's written to their age and geared to them as well. Our website, if you want something that's a little more progressive or a little more long-term, that's what I'm looking for. You've got one-year reading plans, and they're on our website under the Resources tab. And then discuss it. It's important. You see, your faith becomes more real to you when you share it. One of the safest places for you to share is in one of our small groups. And we have 8 groups that meet every week. We meet virtually, digitally by computers and phones right now. If you go to our website on the main page, just click the small group logo button that's there. All the information, all the groups will be available to you there. It's a great place. We just had our meeting this week, and we started a new study in our small group on the Gospel of Mark. And we were able to share and dig into those scriptures and discuss it with one another. See, it helps your faith grow. And then stick with it. I'm going to ask you to challenge yourself today that you're going to make a commitment that you're going to read the Word of God every day for the next 30 days, no matter what. Now, if you're already doing that, that's not a stretch for you. But if you're one of those people that doesn't really read the Word between service to service or only once or twice a week, a little bit more of a stretch, it's okay. Do something consistent. Doing something consistently forms a habit, and the habit of reading the Word will bring life change to you. Joshua 1:8 says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So today, I have given some practical ideas on how to read the Bible. Last week, I gave you a lot of scriptural reasons why we need the Bible. Today, I wanted to give you some practical ways to help you grow spiritually. Remember what Paul says to us, athletes need to train. And if we're going to run the race of life and we're going to run it towards God, we need to discipline ourselves. We need to train ourselves spiritually. And one of the best things we could do is learn to read the Word of God every day and apply it to our lives. See, the Word helps you grow. to get strong spiritually and stay strong. So make a commitment to read the Word of God every day and stick to it. I also want to tell you about a digital resource that we want to make available to you as our church wants to make available to you. It's, many of you are familiar with it. It's called Right Now Media. It's a digital resources of all kinds of biblical videos. There's literally thousands of videos there. There's even stuff for kids on there. And so we want to make that available to you free. Maybe the best picture I can give you, if you've never seen Right Now Media, is if you think of Netflix, it's kind of like that, where you can go on Netflix and watch videos. So it's not really, you're not watching programs and movies, but you're going to watch Bible studies and different things that will help you grow spiritually. And if you've been in our small groups, we've mostly been using Right Now Media for the last number of years for all of our small group content. So it's that kind of thing. So we want to make this available to you, especially now that we are relocked into our homes. And send us an email, send it to highway@highwaygospel.ca, and just say, I would like to have access to Right Now Media, and then we will send out an email to you. You'll get it, and you just follow it. You set up a free account, and you'll have access to the entire library. All right? Let's pray.